experience a weariness. If you're not doing anything, if you're just living for yourself, you're probably not going to be weary. You might be bored, but you won't be weary. But if you're involved in the mainstream of what God is doing, you're going to find a frustration, a weariness. How many of you remember when you was first saved, how excited you were? Remember, there's got to be a day that you were saved. You're not born a Christian. You don't gradually become a Christian. You don't gradually start loving God more. If you do, you're not saved. You're not born again. If you die now, you go to hell. And some would like to say, well, I don't know if I believe in a hell. I don't know if I believe in a heaven. I believe in this and that, and I get incarnated many times over and this. But, you know, the Bible don't teach those things. The Bible says you live once and then the judgment. The Bible teaches us some things. It's the only book we can depend upon. It's the only book that knows the future ahead of time without one mistake. And the Bible says there is a prison, and a prison that God has made for those who have been criminals, spiritual criminals, those who have hurt someone, those who have spread negativity, which all of us have, right? Every human being has fallen short of keeping God's law, and all of us were destined to prison. If we can believe in an earthly prison, then why cannot we believe in a spiritual prison? They call it hell. Tormented by flames for the physical discomfort, and tormented by mental pain and suffering. In hell, a person is totally tormented mentally. I won't get into a big old long sermon on that right now, but I tell you what, you need to understand it. I do not want to end up in Alcatraz or whatever it's at. See, I don't even know what it's called, so I'll never get there. I don't want to go to Lansing Prison. How many would rather not go to Lansing Prison? No way. I'm going to keep the law. And I surely don't want to go to hell. God's prison. Amen. So if you are not born again, if you have not come to a point that you have said, yes, Lord, come into me now. I turn my life over to you. Forgive me for my sins. I believe Jesus died for my sins. Right now I'm drawing a line. This is the past. This is the future. And now I receive you. Thank you. If you haven't done that, you're not born again. You're on the way to hell. If you die right now. If a tornado hit this building and you'd die, you'd wake up in hell. You need to be born again. Now, those of you that have been born again, you remember how excited you were when you were saved. It was like something happened. You prayed that prayer and something happened on the inside and we were excited. Fired up. Motivated. Because it's a new life. We were forgiven. No more conscience back here. I mean, a guilt conscience kind of, you know, it's back in here. You kind of feel like a bad person. God washes you clean. He says, man, you are a pure virgin, spiritually speaking. And we have a purpose. We want to touch people's lives. It feels good to be cleansed from unselfishness. Amen? To really care about others, not worry about self all the time. Most of you have been there. Amen. Linda, we got saved together. We remember that. We had a fired up first couple years, didn't we? My goodness. It was wonderful. Nothing can discourage you in that frame of mind. It's like a honeymoon experience. Dynamic changes take place in your life. And no one can get under your skin. For a while. But there's a problem. As bright as that candle burned, it starts to go out. In every Christian's life that I've ever met, there is a time that now you start feeling tempted again. Now you start getting a little discouraged. And now you start seeing yourself, say, I thought all these defects went away. Why are they coming back? You start getting frustrated with people. You get frustrated with your own spiritual growth. You start doubting yourself. Self-doubt is very destructive. Who am I? Really, who am I? The me that lives within. What am I? Who am I? Very destructive thinking. Aggravated at people, circumstances, struggling with temptation, materialism. Things now start to mean something to you again, material things. Things that didn't mean a thing after you got saved. I tell you, it felt good to be free from materialism. When I was back before I got saved, trying to keep up with the Joneses next door. Trying to look a certain way. Rings. And someone stole my ring. Oh, no, honey, we dropped my wedding ring down the garbage disposal. Right? Oh, you little brat, how could you tear this wedding gown ground? You know, you get it off. I got married in that. Don't stand in a seat. This cost your dad a lot of money. You know? Don't you appreciate anything? Back in my days, materialism, temporalism, things that really don't matter were so important. How we look. Oh no, I got hair out of place. Oh, don't let him see me, Mom. Don't let me see you. Give me a second here so I get it back in place. You got a lipstick smear. Oh no, God help me. Where's the mirror? Sweetheart, don't you think a half an inch of makeup is enough? Well, huh, Mama, you know, I got little blemishes I got to cover. Make a place for the eyes. This is what it's like back when we're so in bondage to materialism. Then we get freed from that for a while. But then we start sliding back into it little by little. Growth starts to come real slow. The ups and downs frustrate us and depress us. We start feeling lonely all over again. We start feeling empty. We wonder what in the world's going to happen to us. Why does this happen? How many of us say you've experienced some degree of what I'm talking about? Let me see your hands. So many people do. Why? What happens? Well, you see, when we first get saved, there's such a marked difference between not being saved and being saved. It's just like, wow. You know what I mean? Because we measure things in differences. How many of you on a cold winter day would love to come in and warm yourself up on an 85 degree fire room, you know, come in and turn it up. But 85 degrees is pretty nice. You come out from the cold. But on a summer, it's 85 degrees in here. Turn on the air conditioner. 85 degrees in the summer drives us nuts, but in the winter, it's welcome. Right? It's the differences that we measure things by. And when you're unsaved, and then you get saved, there's such a difference, it motivates you. That's one reason why we feel so great at first. It's not that we're so perfect. It's not that everything is so different, so much different. There is a difference, but it's not as much as what we think. It's just, but there's enough difference that makes us feel good. And then also, guess what? When God touches my soul, my old spirit comes alive. Wow. Get saved. Oh, I'm so in love with Christ. But my little flesh is having a panic attack. Wait a minute. Everything in my life that ever made me feel valuable, I mean, materialism and prestige and all these things, you're going to give all that up? What about me? The flesh says to the spirit. I've served you diligently. I've fed you. I've provided legs for you to walk around on, spirit. I have been your slave, spirit. And now you're going to take all these things away from me, the flesh says to the spirit. And the flesh gets pretty worried. So it starts thinking. Well, wait a minute, Christianity, maybe that's not so bad. the flesh gets involved and starts reading that Bible through your eyes too. And starts listening to the radio and TV, and the flesh says, you know, Christianity maybe isn't so bad. Because you see, now I can have power in the name of Jesus. I can get anything I want. And I can be important in the church. And people think I'm so righteous. Wow, they look up to me. I can have pride. And man, I can judge other people like you cannot believe, and I can get by with it in the church because and now I'm going to have a righteous judgment. I'm going to be better than everybody else then. I'm going to be cool. The old flesh says, you know, Christianity doesn't sound so bad after all. You know? And I can get in there and get all excited, and I can have relationships and everything, and boy, man alive, people trust me, get close to people. Now you put your arm around somebody, they slap you, but after I'm a Christian, I can get by with it. The old flesh likes Christianity quite a bit. So it gives us a great big high. We got the spirit and the flesh on the same side. Self-righteously and spiritually becoming a Christian. And a lot of the great excitement that we feel as a Christian is out of the flesh. Surface. It's no different than joining a club or going on a vacation or getting a promotion. But after a while, the flesh gets threatened because after it gets more involved in Christianity, gets more involved in understanding, they say, what's this about denying yourself? That's not in the Bible, is it? What's this about sacrificing? The old flesh, you're not too excited about that. You mean sacrifice? You mean really sacrifice? I thought paying the 10% was sacrifice. And we start reading the Bible and give it all up. Serve God with everything. You mean God, you're going to make some of my decisions? I mean, after all, I am madly in love with Benny. Oh, I mean I'm madly in love with Mikey. That Shane guy. I want him, Lord. I don't care what. I want this guy. Even if it kills me. Still, I mean, these girls. You mean, Lord, you're going to guide me in who to marry? But what if you choose someone who's not beautiful? And we start finding out that God wants to have our life. And the flesh says, wait a minute, I don't know if I go for this or not. Just kind of worried a little bit. You see. So it starts struggling. It's getting tried by fire. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13. Tried by fire. I mean, you really got up in front of the church and you really had a good testimony and no one clapped. How many's ever had that happen? Do you ever wonder what you did wrong? God just does that on you sometimes. You know, you'll get up and say something fantastic, and every time before you got up, everybody clapped. This time, they didn't act like they even heard you. You sit down, and you feel so awkward. Amen. You get up and you sing, and people look so frowny-faced, you wonder what you're doing to them. You think they're all frowning at you. And the flesh starts driving you nuts. Christianity isn't such a bed of roses as it started out to be. Now you're finding out it takes real sacrifice and everyone's not going to get along with you and people are, and you're not going to achieve some of the goals that you had in mind and you're going to slip and fall. You're going to have to re-examine yourself and you're starting to realize that being a Christian is joining a battle, becoming a part of a battle, joining an army, becoming a part of a war. It's serious and it's going to take everything you got. If you really want to get in there and be it. And maybe you can't marry that person you'd like to marry because that person's not serious enough. Maybe you're going to have to go away with your flesh bleeding a little bit. And maybe you're going to have to team up with somebody that loves God, that loves people, that's willing to sacrifice to make a difference. Maybe you're going to have to listen to mom and dad a little bit because the Bible says so. Oh, come on, God. Was that part of the agreement? I gotta listen to Dad. man, why didn't you tell him that before I got saved? You know? And so in the flesh, there becomes tremendous struggles. There's demands upon your life. You start getting touched. You start opening up. You start bleeding a little bit. You see someone and you cry inside for them. You say, I don't know if I like this or not. It hurts. You know? It hurts to care. And you open your heart up to someone, and they take that little knife out, and they slip it into your heart, and they twist it. Oh, this is not supposed to happen. I'm a Christian. I was loving you. What did you stab me for? I was trying to help you. Why did you turn? You know, why did you stab me in the back? How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah. It seemed like it's all giving and no receiving after a while. So you give, you give, you give, and give until you've all given out. Then when am I going to get something? When's someone going to help me out? I go visit everybody else and they're sick, and why don't they come and visit me when I'm sick? And I shake everyone's hands, but whoever comes over to me and shakes my hand. It's give and very little receiving is what Christianity is all about. Because the world is desperate. The world is out there blinded, and only a few people can see. And it's a lot, and for the Christians to make a difference, they gotta give, they gotta work, they gotta pour themselves out. So Christianity becomes sometimes a very weary journey. And we start feeling not as enthused as we were. And we find out no longer can we get a cheap thrill out of the flesh. Because we're getting retrained, we're getting reprogrammed, we're starting to see things as they are. It used to be when we needed a little thrill, we'd go out and we'd eat some food or, you know, go out and have a night on the town, take a little drug, a little alcohol, smoke a couple cigarettes, a little grass or whatever. We could get together and go out and be destructive or go out and act stupid in the middle of the night. I mean, we've all done it, haven't we? Still do sometimes. You know? But you know what? It doesn't satisfy as much as it used to. We've done crazy things for fun. You know what I mean? I mean, can you think of some of the crazy things we've done for fun? You know, drive up to an intersection, everybody get out and start dancing in front of the headlights. That wasn't too long ago. But anyway, shh. You know, drive up to a stop sign and run out in the middle of the street and say, stop the traffic. That guy drives up, you jump in and say, ha ha, suckers! You know, all kinds of crazy things that used to really give you a thrill, make you happy, but they don't feed you anymore. Now you're maturing. You've got to dig into real life to get satisfaction. It takes a little longer, a little more investment of your time and efforts, your thoughts. You think, man, I think I want to go back and be a baby Christian. I want to go back in the world where it used to be fun. The devil tells us. Some of these things, I think, are hitting home, aren't they? Not with everybody, but, you know, with some of you. And what happens is Christianity becomes weary because it seems like you're always out. I mean, poor Harry, he's out all the time. He's 5 o'clock in the morning, he's taking people to work. 6, 7, 8. Late at night, gets a ring. Angelique says, can you come and take me home after all? It's only 12 o'clock. It's still early. He says, okay. Gets kind of tough sometimes, doesn't it? Kind of strings you out. And there's Anne. I mean, she babysitted and babysitted and babysitted and babysitted until the point she didn't know if she was a baby or she was a sitter. Right? She was confused. You know, what am I anyway? I'm confused, you know? Everybody in the church called her grandma, you know? It got pretty tough, didn't it? It takes a while to become something really spiritually. It takes a while to get transformed, to get your character refined. It takes a while to really to develop a spiritual taste for life so that you can really get more joy out of seeing a young person change his life than any other thing you've ever done in the world. You go away, you feel so good. Oh, Lord, it's so great to be alive. But you got to change your taste, right? You got to stop having a sugar diet and get on some vitamins. right? Spiritually speaking. It takes time, and sometimes we grow weary. We get so frustrated with ourselves. Why don't I ever learn? Why do I commit the same mistake over and over again? How many of you ever said that? Ooh, it gets frustrating, doesn't it? See, if he's out in the world, you just get drunk and you wouldn't even know it. Right? You get to say, well, I don't know what that's doing. But as a Christian, we've got to stand up to responsibility. Why? Well, it takes time is why. Because God is dealing with a very complicated created being, you. You're complicated. And you have a free will, which makes you very complicated. And you get all these talents and gifts, it makes you even more complicated. And you got a mind full of memories. Oh, how many like memories? Oh, I mean, how many did ever get the old picture book out? What do you call that? Photograph book? Album, that's what it is, yeah. And start going back there. Oh, man, can you remember this, Lola? You know? And we look through that. How many like memories? How many remember that little walk in the moonlight? That first little... You know, the first car. Oh, Dad, thanks. 55 Ford, man. You know, we like memories, don't you? So God's given you a beautiful memory. He's given you all kinds of memory banks, like a computer. Sometimes that comes back to haunt you, though, right? How many of you got some memories you wish weren't there? Yeah. Your memory that should be such a beautiful thing becomes a haunted house. You gotta live with the negativity stored in that beautiful mind of yours. And insecurities and fears. We have the very unique capability of fearing. Oh, thank you, God, for giving me the ability to fear. That's neat, isn't it? God created us with the ability to fear. I'm glad that when I see a rattlesnake, that I fear it. You know? It used to scare me when my little three teeny boppers would go out there and start picking up snakes. I think all three of my children have done that sometime or another, all about this high. And then, look, Dad! And Mom goes, ah! Grabs a broom and hits the kid. Snake says thanks, you know, in the confusion. I'm glad that we can be scared of snakes and scared of spiders and scared of fire and scared of walking in the street with fast cars going by and scared of walking along cliffs, jumping off. Aren't you glad? I'm glad that some of our kids have some sense of fear of heights. Little Mikey used to climb way up high. We'd say, where's Mikey? Look here, Mommy. Look here, Daddy. Ah, call the fire department, you know. He just keep climbing, climbing, climbing. You know, I'm glad some people have fear of heights when they're that young. Fear is good, but how many are afraid to get up here and to teach and to preach a little bit? How many's a little afraid of that? Oh, yeah. How many is afraid when you see a person struggling on the street and say, oh, that person's so sad, I'd like to go up and say something to that person to make their day? How many are afraid to do it? Man, these crazy fears that's supposed to be so good has turned on us, right? We are complex beings. Very complex. And don't think that you're going to change your whole life in a matter of a few years. Oh, listen, we are a new creature. We've got a new spirit inside of us. We've got a new intent of heart. We've got a new direction, a new purpose. But man alive, it's going to take some time to work out all the little kinks. Jesus spent 30 years getting ready to minister. 30 years. Can you imagine that? The Son of God took 30 years and then he only got to minister for 3? Wow, that's a lot of preparation time, isn't it? The last prophecy of the Old Testament is talking about the day of the Lord shall come. And for 400 years, people are excited about Christ coming. It took 400 years after that prophet spoke that last prophecy for Christ to finally come. 400 slow years. And think about Adam and Eve. When Jesus says, hey, you're going to kick that snake in the head one of these days. Your seed is going to stomp that snake's head in the ground. How many get kind of excited about that? If you were Adam and Eve and you see all this ugly sin that's come in, you're mad at the old Satan for bringing sin into your family. I mean, you know, Cain kills Abel and all of these bad things. God says, we're going to get that snake. And then 4,000 years later, we get the fulfillment, the first step of fulfillment of that prophecy. 4,000 years. How many millions of years has Satan been in revolt? Think about it. It takes time to do things right. But is it worth it? Is it worth it? Yeah, I could testify tonight, it's worth it. I praise God I'm not the same person I was 25 years ago. It was a nightmare to be so young and crazy. You know what I mean? I praise God I feel differently in life. I'm not in bondage. I praise God that I can actually let God do something in my life. Enjoy life. But it took time. It took some time. And listen, Christians, we sit here and stand here today on the crest of one of the most magnificent things that's ever happened, next to the Christ coming in the first time. We have the opportunity to be a part of the last Elijah church, to bring an end to all the terrible, terrible suffering that people are involved in. In my lifetime, I can say no more molestations will ever be. Wow. No more elderly people forsaken by their youth. No more mentally tormented people committing suicide. No more betrayals by the one that you love the most. No more that terrible hurt that's afflicting the very heart of humanity. No more little prostitutes at 11 years old out on the streets, tormented by guilt. No more drug, fried minds. Man yesterday brought something to my house, a young man about 20, alcohol in his breath, and it's his first thing in the morning. 9 o'clock in the morning. I just was so sensitive to him. I just wanted to touch his life somehow. I can imagine what that young man is going through at 9 o'clock in the morning to be already half drunk. Isn't that sad? No more. In our lifetime, we can actually be a part of the group that says, no more, Satan. It's over for you, guy. There's not going to be any more hurt. No more broken hearts. In our lifetime, it can stop. If we've got the courage, and there's others that find the courage to endure what it takes to be able to help people. My heart is broken that we're not ready to touch lives like we'd like to. We're too busy being transformed, right? But the day is coming. The day is coming where we can have an impact that will make a difference. But if you grow weary in the process, it will never happen in your life. And if enough of us grow weary, it will never happen in this lifetime. I do not want to die and go to heaven and get up there with God and go to the prayer meetings in heaven and pray for those down on earth that are still suffering and look down upon my kids and say, well, I hope they do better than I did. Or my grandkids, oh man, what a world to bring them into. I'd be honest with you, when I meet young people on the streets, they're so confused, disillusioned. Many of them have so many different kinds of troubles. They're so frustrated, so depressed, so hyper. So this is not a very nice world. And I don't want to be up there in heaven in about 50 years praying for my grandchildren to get through this crazy life. I want to stop it in my lifetime through Jesus Christ. I want to make a difference. And if I can't stop it all, I want to stop it in a lot of lives. How many lives can we touch? I believe we can touch millions of them. Because if you really go through the transformation, if you really let God refine your heart, if you got a sensitive, unselfish heart, you can make an impact and it will duplicate. You can touch one person's life and they're so touched by you, they'll turn around and they'll touch someone else. I see it happen over and over again. We've seen it happen in this church. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when we get there? Man, I've already been out on the streets. I spent about 4 years out there a lot. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be out there in the ganglands and the ghettos and to see the hurt and the help and touch and see the changes. And I know that's going to touch your life like you've never been touched in your whole imagination. But do you have the guts to endure what it takes to get there? Are you going to get so wrapped up in self-pity and self-judgment and self-doubt, frustrations and doubts and all these things that we suffer from, and you're going to lose the vision that what God created you for? Or are you going to push through the hard times and come out a winner and make a difference in this life? It's been a while, and it may take a little more time. But I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to work. I'm just looking for a team. I'm looking for a team. And I believe I got one here. I'm looking for a team that's going to pay the cost. Hey, listen. This is a ground floor opportunity. And I know it's hard right now. And I know a lot of you are in intense training. But it's worth it. You need that training. Because when you get out there in life, you're going to be ready to embrace it. Amen? I'm going to give you 4 quick points on how to help you on this journey. 4 points on how you can win this battle against weariness and discouragement and frustration that brings so many Christians down to a low-level existence. Number one. You've got to keep a humble spirit. You cannot imagine what a humble spirit will do for you. It's so much peace in being humble. What does it mean to be humble? To see your helplessness. To see your dependency. I think about certain things that helps me stay very humble. I think about me, Mike Akins, in this world, supposed to be such a great person, Mr. Kevin, Mr. Dan, very intelligent man, and I think there's 5 billion of us out there. 5 billion human beings out there all think they're great. I mean, most of them. They all think they're the main one. Don't you think you're the main one, Carrie? I mean, you think, oh, I'm the main one. Nah. But don't we all feel like, you know, you're all out there. I'm me, you know. I'm the one here. But there's 5 billion of us. Like little ants all over this globe. Isn't that amazing? And when we're going to really do something in this life, man. Let me tell you something. This life is lasts for a second. Think about how long the task has been. Thousands of years, and if you're in the spiritual world, millions and billions of years. God has been working on this thing for millions of years and thousands of years with humans, and here we are. Boy, we really a big stuff, hot stuff. We've only got about 60 years in this life. And by the time you know what you're doing, you've got about 20 left. And that's not very long. 20 little, measly little years. When you look at God's been working on this thing for thousands of years. And God, he watches every person, every moment, working every single moment. And here we think that we get prideful. What do we got to be prideful about? And then we see our little planet is a little speck like a grain of sand in the sea. We got a galaxy. that's got billions and trillions of other planets, and we're just a small little speck in the sky, and then billions of galaxies. Ah, man, it makes me humble. It makes me very humble. And it makes me more dependent on Christ. And I don't get so upset because things don't happen right. I'm traveling behind this little old man or old lady. No, I'm going to stop using that. This young whippersnapper that's, you know, got mom's brand new car out. He could barely see his head above his seat, you know. And man, he's just going like this. He's going, come on, I'm important. I got important things to do. This is an important day. I got to get to the office. I got to get to the school. I got to get home. Oh, I'm such an important person. How can this person waste my time? I am so important, I'm going to get mad at this person for being in my way. I'm going to get really frustrated at him. And man, you just watch the look I'm going to give this person when I pass him. You know? Hey, listen, little tiny little play car, when you know, if you look at it from God's point of view, we got a little play car we're driving, and there's all kinds of cars all over. You ever been in one of these big cities with cars running everywhere? You think you're so important? There's all kinds of cars out there. And boy, your time's so important. Wow, there's time going on all over the place. We got to keep humble. It keep you at rest. It keep you peaceful. It keep you dependent on God. And you won't get so frustrated at things when you see the major overall picture. Amen? Humble spirit. I've got nothing to feel prideful about. I'm just a little boy in a big world. Amen? And then, the number two is get a clear picture of your purpose in this life. Get a clear picture of a purpose. Don't just wander around. Well, what are you going to be when you grow up? I'm going to be a Boy Scout. I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to be a teacher. Oh, major, major, major. Well, this life is worth a lot more than that. There's things in this life that are very important, and there's spiritual things that touch people's lives for eternity. You gotta get a picture of why am I alive? You gotta look into the scriptures, you gotta get around to the Christian and get a perspective on this. Then you gotta see yourself in this purpose. Amen? Gotta see this purpose. And what will be the result if you carry out your purpose? If you carry out your purpose, what's gonna be the result? This is part two still. 2A, 2B. How many of you focus on what's going to be the result if you go ahead and fulfill your calling, fulfill your purpose? Have you ever really meditated on it? Have you really thought about it? Number three, you've got to believe, you've got to see and believe in your predisposed success. What does that mean, predisposed? We're guaranteed success if we would just want it, will it, and just keep yielded to God. He will get us there through thick and thin, through the valleys and the mountains. God will get you there. But you got to believe it. Ask, you shall receive, believe. All things are possible if you believe it. But if you don't believe it, it won't happen for you. There's no promise to someone that don't believe. If you don't believe you can do it, if you don't believe it will happen, then it won't happen. You've got to every day go back and commit that belief to God, saying, God, I believe it because you said it. You said you're no respecter person, and I'm one of those. And I believe it, that I can be everything you created me to be. And don't get your eyes on other people thinking, well, yeah, look at all these people. No. Maybe they're not really reaching out. Maybe they're not really, really, you know, yielding themselves. Maybe they're not willing it. Maybe they're lost in illusion. People, I tell you, are more lost than what you think. Jack was talking to some guy who's been a Christian for, what, 30 years, Jack, you say? And what did you say to that guy that got him so excited? I forgot. He Yeah, he made this statement to this guy that preaches all over. He says, hurting people give out hurt. Because this guy was talking about how these people are hurting someone. He says, hurting people give out hurt. And that guy stood there. What did you say? He said, wow, I never thought of that. This is a man that travels all over. This is a man that preaches. How many knew that? How many already knew that hurting people give out people? I mean, give out hurt. hurting people give out hurt. How many knew that? Why did you know it? Because you heard it right here, didn't you? Simple little thing to you. But to this individual, it was an awesome reality. He could see people differently now. Instead of seeing them as a criminal, oh, they're a victim. Hurting people give out hurt. But you see, don't look around you and say, I can't make it because these people aren't. Because maybe they live in an illusion and they're not seeing the simple things that you see. You can be successful. You've got to stand on that. The last point is that you got to refocus on the first 3 points every day. Amen. The last point is you got to refocus on the first 3 points every single day. When I wake up in the morning, every day, almost without exception, I go back through my purpose. I examine myself. I recommit myself. I recommit my belief in God. And I think it through every morning. Because I get up, once I get up, there's no rest. It's tough every day. Facing all kinds of things. And I get through every day, usually with a good attitude. Because in that morning, I think it back through. And when I get up, I'm ready for battle. Amen. Got to think it through. Re-examine. Go back through. Make sure you're humble. Make sure you know your limitations as a person. Make sure you see your purpose. You know how important it is. And make sure that you comprehend that your success is guaranteed if you hang in there.